Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are privileged to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to do so without fear of what others may think or say, without fear of persecution, without being ashamed. We gather as your children. And our Father, we thank you for the great gift of salvation. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace, and we thank you for all that you have done for us and that you continue to do on our behalf. We ask you to forgive us for our sin and sinfulness, for sometimes we're weak and we give in. We do the things that we know we ought not to do, and as Paul says, that's not what we want to do. The things we know we should do, we fail to do at times. And we thank you for your forgiving grace, your mercy, for your patience and your kindness that draws us to repentance. And so we pray that you'll work in each of us in the way you know is best, that we might be more alert, that we might be more aware of everything we say and what we're thinking, even before we say it. And help us to be cautious, that all we think, do, say is pleasing to you and according to your word. Our Father, we look forward to this coming year. We look forward to what you have for us, and we know that it will be different than we have seen before. We know we will be challenged. We know we will grow. We know that we will learn. We know that you will lead us. We know that every word of the Lord proves true, that you cannot be wrong and that you cannot lead us astray. And so it is our prayer that not just now and today and this week or this month, not even just this year, but for the rest of our lives, you will help us in this time of new beginning to rededicate our lives to you for the rest of our lives, to be diligent in our study and in our ministry. Father, we pray for wisdom on high. We pray that you will share with us your understanding and your guidance. We pray, our Father, that every day we will grow stronger in the Word. We pray every day that our life will be in harmony with the Word. And we pray, our God, that in these coming weeks and months and years, that we will continue to grow in grace, both physically, mentally, spiritually. So, Father, we ask you to come and meet with us. And we pray that as we talk about new beginnings, that you will help us remember all of this is possible only because of your great salvation. And as we anticipate sharing in the remembrance of what our salvation cost you, we pray that you will help us to take it seriously. We pray that you will help us, Father, as your adopted children, to walk worthy of the vocation to which we have been called. Father, we love you so much. You have done so many things for us. And we pray that you will remind us of those things now and forevermore, that we might become more grateful every passing day. You come and minister to us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To say that 2017 offers some interesting and unknown opportunities would basically be a mild understatement, wouldn't it? This will be a year of significant change and new beginnings for all of us. And perhaps two of the most feared things, or two of the things that people like least, are uncertainty and change, but not necessarily in that order. Let me offer this to you as perhaps some consolation. Anything beyond this moment is known only to our omniscient God. For this moment, all things future are beyond our control, but not beyond His. Later, you can read Job 9, a great chapter on the sovereignty of God. So are the closing chapters of the book of Job. Psalm 29 is another great psalm addressing God's sovereignty. And in verse 10 of that psalm, David says, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. He sits enthroned as king forever." And I've given you some other verses on your outline that will help get you started in a study on God's sovereignty. To quote or to paraphrase a famous New Testament writer, at exactly the right moment, or in the fullness of time, God will send. He will send to you all the information you need to make whatever decisions may confront you. The writers of Scripture call that waiting on the Lord. At the time you need to make those decisions, rest assured that God will already have given you all the understanding and knowledge you need to make the right decision. Listen, the right decision to follow God's will for your life at that time. Now, that's the information. Here's the application. Between now and then, or the time you need to make the decision, while you are waiting on the Lord, it is your personal responsibility before God to be diligent in your reading and study of His Bible. You are to be in the Word. You are to be just as diligent and faithful in your prayer life, seeking Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. God told Jeremiah, it's recorded for us in chapter 29 and verse 13, that if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Beloved, God wants to be found. God wants to be sought. God wants us to come to Him. But beloved, He wants us to do it sincerely. You're to be diligent and faithful in memorizing Scripture, hiding it in your heart, so that when you're tempted or tested or need to make a decision, you have the necessary information and knowledge ready so your decision is in harmony with Scripture. And beloved, I'm talking to you about decisions in your personal and private life, in your family life, in your corporate life here, in your business life, in every part of your daily living. If you want to be as fully equipped as you can, you also need to be faithful in private and corporate worship. Listen to me. Listen. If you want to have the right mindset about Sunday morning worship, then it might be good to consider two things. First, you start at 11:35 this morning, and you ask God in prayer and through your study through the week to prepare your heart to meet with Him the next Lord's Day. You ask God to prepare you all week to be ready to meet with Him next Lord's Day. And second, establish in your mind that Sunday morning worship begins at 9:30 and ends at 11:30. We only meet in this situation once a week. And beloved, there are two parts to that. One is this part, one is the teaching part. Listen to me. Both are equally important. We are not only to listen to the preaching of the word, we are accountable and responsible to do what? Study to show yourself approved. And so if you just establish in your mind that Sunday morning belongs to the Lord, God will richly bless you for that. Now, somebody's thinking somewhere, well, I'm sorry, but I'm doing all that I can do to get through the service. And I'm just too busy. And besides that, I don't get that much out of it. Have you ever wondered, if that's your kind of where you are, have you ever wondered what it would be like if you changed your focus and asked this question? What is God getting from me on Sunday morning? If you're just coming to be seen and you tolerate me, you're coming for the wrong reason. You need to come expecting the Holy Spirit minister to you. Listen, in spite of me or any other redeemed man that stands here, you need to come prepared to worship God. Now, just hold on to that thought. And I want to look with you this morning at some new beginnings that are appropriate for us here at Baptist Christian. The book of Deuteronomy is often misinterpreted as though it is a second law or another set of laws in addition to the laws that God gave at Sinai. It is not a second law. Deuteronomy is a rehearsal of the law, not introducing new law. Moses is repeating to Israel the law given to them 40 years earlier, just after they crossed the Red Sea. Perhaps if you ask almost anyone in that crowd then, they would tell you they had heard it all before. And I'm fairly certain that there were people in that crowd that might have said, I wish Moses would read some different commentaries once in a while, because he's always harping on the law. He's saying the same thing over and over. Why does he think we don't listen or get it? Well, not to discourage you, but if you take a careful look, you will see that the book of Deuteronomy is not the last time the law is rehearsed. Do you know that David rehearses the entire history of Israel three or four times in different psalms through the book? It is often rehearsed. Now, there was written law at this time. But listen, from Adam to Moses, there was no written law anywhere. And the men in the family had a rod or a stick. And on that rod were carvings all the way around it that represented the law and the history. And the father, on a regular basis, would rehearse the history of the world and the history of the nation of Israel and the law with their families. And it was passed down like that through that carved stick until it was written by Moses. And God's law is not going to change now or after the rapture or in all eternity. It will always be God's law. By the way, do you have any idea when the last time the law will be rehearsed? The last time that it'll be taken or be repeated on the earth? It'll be at the end of the millennium. Because at the end of the millennium, the only thing left is the Battle of Armageddon and the two judgments. When was the last time you rehearsed the law? When was the last time you read through the law. I'm fascinated with Psalm 119. Now, I've never counted them, but I'm fascinated at how many different ways David says, I love your law. Psalm 119 is an acrostic with the Hebrew alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 characters in it, and that's how many paragraphs are in Psalm 119. And if you start today and you read Aleph, and tomorrow you read Beth, and the next day you read the third one, you'll read through Psalm 119 in the first 22 days of the month, and you will learn and watch David say, it doesn't make any difference what my situation in life, I always come back to your law, and I'm in love with your law. Have you ever just sat alone with yourself at any time and ask yourself this, am I in love with God's law? Now, we ask ourselves often, am I in love with God? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm in love with God. Are you in love with God's law? David's commitment to the law was what I think caused God to call him a man after his own heart. What is involved in rehearsing or reading the law? Well, let's look at some things here, and let's try to see why it will be important for us in 2017. Let's begin with a new dedication. In verse 1, Moses says, hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving to you. He says, hear now. In the NIV, I think it says, listen. Listen is one of those words. Listen. Listen is one of those words we use so often it falls on deaf ears sometimes, doesn't it? The Hebrew meaning of the word that's translated listen means to give one's attention to a sound for the purpose of or with the intention of responding to the advice or request. Always put that in a context of God's law. How often are we all guilty of thinking, even sometimes saying, I already know what's going to be said. I don't have to give my attention because I have no intention of responding to anything that person says. Now, if you and I are alone with our wives, they will tell you men are more guilty of that than we are. We hear, and we respond, don't we? Yes, dear. And that's all there is. Sometimes we have the attitude, I'm so convinced I'm right that it doesn't make any difference what you say. I think my way is always right. Sometimes people say this, I wouldn't do anything that person says because it would make them look right and me wrong, and I can't be wrong. If that floats around in your mind, can I just share this with you? You're already wrong. All of us are wrong from time to time. And Moses is telling them, hear now. By the way, just so you understand, Deuteronomy takes place at the Jordan River. The people who were supposed to, all the people 40 years old and older, have died because they didn't believe God when he said, go into the land and possess it. You remember the 12 spies. They are now ready to go in and take possession of the land God has already given them. All they have to do is take possession of it.
You and I went through that last Sunday morning. Every gift was designated with somebody's name on it, and it had already been given to you. It was purchased and placed there for you. It belonged to you. And when we unwrapped it and opened it up, we took possession of that which had already been given to us. I don't think there's anybody in here that opened one and said, "Oh, I don't want that," and laid it aside. Now, it's likely that some of the kids opened their present and said, "That's really cool. What's next?" Right? And they gave it some attention, but they didn't refuse it. We have a tendency to do that to God. "Oh, that's cool. I like that. That's interesting. What's next?" And so you need to understand that when God says to, when Moses says to the people, "Hear now," he's saying, I'm doing this, I'm rehearsing this with you so that this law is fresh in your mind. And a bad attitude toward what I'm going to tell you again is not good for you. And we need to keep that focused. He says in verse 1, listen to what I'm to teach you. Look at the second sentence. Follow them, why? So that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Listening to God's laws, all of them, is a prerequisite to life and possession of what God has prepared for us. Beloved, we have to listen with the intention of obeying to what God says. Now, let me ask you something. What has God prepared for us? Just what is it that is ready? Well, 1 Peter tells us, Chapter 1, verse 1, that for us who are Christians, God has prepared and given to us all things necessary for godliness. All of it has come to us, and we have received it in salvation. Everything you need to live your entire life in harmony with Scripture and receive the blessings of God, listen, is already yours. All you have to do is possess it. And you possess it by listening to God speak to you each day as you read His Word. And if you listen, when you read, if you hear the still, small voice speak to your heart, and you intend to respond to the advice given, life has meaning and purpose. Ask somebody that you know does that, and they'll tell you that's true. If you want to make a change in the condition of your life, then dedicate yourself anew to listen with the intention of responding. Listen carefully to what God says, the way God says it. That will become tremendously important in a little while. Some of you are already in the habit of listening and responding. And you have discovered that God has taken you to a whole new level in your spiritual life. And you say, "I didn't even realize it was happening." You just discover it one time. "Wow, look, this is different." It's because you listen and you respond. A new dedication leads to a new defense. Verse 2, "Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. And all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you the decrees and the laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Would you go with me to the book of the Revelation, please? Chapter 22. It's the last chapter in the Bible. It's right next to the table of weights and measures. Well, it is in my Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Look, please, at verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away words from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Beloved, when we think of adding or subtracting from Scripture, we normally think of adding or subtracting verses or passages. Those who think this warning was given to the scribes who would copy Scripture were given to warn them to be very careful about what they're doing. Well, listen, an honest scribe, or one that was truly designated as a scribe of God, was so meticulously, excruciatingly careful that they took extraordinary measures to write every jot and tittle, dot every I, cross every T, exactly. Linda and I had the privilege of seeing some of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And if you look at those scrolls, they were not done on a computer. They were done by hand. Beloved, listen. Every one of those letters is exactly the same size. They are the same width. And they are the same space between them. The lines are the same. They honestly look like they were done electronically. Every letter meticulously written so that there was no mistake. Nothing added, nothing left. So, in verse 18, John says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. I warn everyone. That warning is to you and me. Most people would be quick to say, I will never add anything to God or to what he says in his word. But it's what happens. People are guilty of adding or subtracting when they have the attitude, God needs my help on this one. So this is the way I think whatever should be done. Sometimes people will go as far to say, and I don't know if you've ever heard them say it, but I have, I know the Bible says this or doesn't say that, but I think we should do whatever my way. Listen carefully. Listen with the intention of responding. Adding your way to Scripture is adding trouble to your life. The same is true with taking away from God's Word. When we try to shortcut or detour around what God says, and when we think God's way is too complicated or detailed, or when we think something in Scripture is for others but not for us, no matter what our own rationale or justification, we are taking away our share in from the tree of life or the book of life and the blessings that God has for us. I cannot tell you how serious that is. Beloved, this is the truth. This is the only truth, and it doesn't need to be added to or subtracted from based on what we think is best. Thank you. It is God's way or the wrong way. And in 2017, you will be making decisions that are life-giving or life-taking from Baptist Christian Church. And I'm warning you in love. I'm warning you as clearly as I know how that in every decision you make in accordance with the truth of God's Word, period. Amen. Satan has tried so many ways to hurt us. Because as a congregation, we are so determined to follow the Lord. And anybody that's been here any time knows God has been at work. Satan doesn't like that. And you have to be vigilant in all that you do and in every decision that you make. And you've heard the old saying, the best defense is a good offense. And a good offense begins with a new dedication. Dedicate or rededicate yourself to God and His Word, and you will discover that your defense is built in. If you want to read in Scripture a study, if you want to do a study of how dedication to God and His way of life looks in real life, study David. Go back to 1 Samuel 11 or 1 Kings 16 and the Psalms and study, listen, see how David was committing to following God's word, God's way, and you will hear David say, "When I followed you faithfully, you were my defense, you were my shelter, my fortress, my rock," and so on. Beloved, listen, when you follow God, God's way, God does the fighting for you. Read, start in the book of Joshua and watch the history of Israel and you'll understand how that works. As you study, you grow. As you grow, your defense constantly becomes more formidable, more powerful. And a new dedication and a new defense lead to a new determination. In verse 6, Moses says, "Observe them, the laws, carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about these decrees and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them in the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today?" Let's read that a little bit differently so that it's 21st century. "Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear. Surely this Baptist Christian Church is wise and understanding people. What other New Testament local church is so great as to have gods near them in the way the Lord, their God, is near to them whenever they pray to Him? And what other local New Testament church is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws that I'm setting before you today?" Would you make that your dedication? Any true Christian will tell you that living a life in harmony with God's word is not easy. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that if we live in accordance with all God's word, we will in fact be persecuted, we will be slandered. Every true Christian that's ever taken a stand for Christ and living a Christ-like life has been harassed and slandered and abused and ridiculed, tortured and often killed because of their determination to live as God instructs. In every part of the Christian life, we're forced to choose multiple times every day who we will serve. The results of our choices we make multiple times each day come from our determination to persevere. And when Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve," he was not saying, "Make your choice and go on with life." He was saying, "Choose and keep on choosing every day, all day." The question is, how strong is your determination to continue to live in harmony with all of God's Word? Listen, the answer is found in your dedication. And your dedication reveals the strength and effectiveness of your determination. Think of it this way. How important is it for you to receive God's blessing on your life, individually and corporately, all the time? The answer will help you to see where your level of commitment or determination is. And then finally, notice a new diligence. In verse 9, Moses says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and their children's children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to your children.'" I like the way one author defines diligence when he says, "It is conscientious hard work and perseverance, particularly with regard to a relationship with God." And in Scripture, from beginning to end, diligence is highly commended. In Proverbs 21:5, Solomon says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." Work hard to keep you out of the way. Paul says, "I boast in this one thing, and that is Christ crucified. I want to be weak so the power of Christ may rest upon me." The prophet Jeremiah says, "Keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is reward for you and your work, declares the Lord." Paul told the Corinthians, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord, so that you know your labor for the Lord is not in vain." Timothy says, "Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourselves and your hearers." Beloved, listen, diligence becomes the most important in the visible demonstration of our relationship, our redemption relationship with God. And Jesus taught us how to be diligent through his daily walk in his ministry. Hey, listen, aren't you glad Jesus never threw in a towel? You ever thought about that? Diligence was one of the hallmarks of Jesus' ministry. I put on your book there, or on your notes, to read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. The concept there is, we're being watched by a lot of people in heaven and on earth, so don't give up. Don't mislead them. Hold on, now don't go away just yet. Our diligence is to constantly remind us how God has reached out to us in so many ways in our daily life and made himself and his presence known to us. You and I are to be about the business of teaching our children and our grandchildren and even our great-grandchildren that God is to be first in their life. Beloved, the best way to teach them the principles of God and what God wants us to understand is to show them in your own daily life, or teach by example. Are you still holding on to that thought? What thought? The one about coming to worship and letting the Holy Spirit minister to you in spite of me or any other man? Perhaps, just perhaps, one of the first new beginnings you need to make is a new attitude toward quiet time, toward Bible study, prayer, and worship. Now listen carefully. So many of you have your priorities right, and God is in first place in your life. And you know what? The places you need to work on are those deep, dark, hard places that you know about, and they hurt your heart that they're there. And maybe you just need to get a new grip on them and say, okay, now we're gonna whip this thing. But there are others who are still toying with their salvation and with their dedication. You haven't yet decided to put and keep God first. And it's okay if you talk about this with other people. Because listen, until you get alone with God and you acknowledge that He is the sovereign Lord of your life, no matter what, and you cut all the strings and you don't take that back from Him, your life won't be right and it won't be as good as God has intended for you or for it to be. And so the question is this: what would God have to do to cause you to start anew, beginning now to serve Him and Him only? But perhaps a better question is, do you really want to find out? Our Father in heaven, help us to understand from the depths of our heart, Jesus paid it all. And in response, all of everything we have, we owe to you. Minister to us this week and visit us often, reminding us to dedicate ourselves diligently to you. And Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you have shared with us. And we know that you have no intention of stopping as long as we continue to walk in harmony with your word. And so we pray that you will help us to dedicate ourselves to learning all we can learn. And now we ask you to go before us and prepare our way. It is our privilege to return to the mission field to which you've assigned us to be about your business. And we do it in the eternal and almighty saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.